It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitute.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor, Digital.
Hello, Katie, from London. How are you?
Oh, it's a bi-coastal pop shop. Hello from Los Angeles, Keith. How are you doing?
Some might say it's even bi-continental. I am fine.
True. That's true. Coasts and continents.
Everything is just spiffy here in London, because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop, and sometimes Britpop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, there's big news to discuss about The Raconteurs, Lil Nas X, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, plus Taylor Swift and her very candid statement regarding the sale of Big Machine Records, along with her catalog of older work.
It's a doozy. But before we get into that, we also have an interview with Georgia Koo. The singer and songwriter is percolating on radio airwaves right now as the featured vocalist you hear on Noted and Felix Jean's So Close, which also features Captain Cuts. She's also helped a lot of pop tunes for such acts as Fifth Harmony, Rita Ora, said helped write a lot of pop tunes for such acts as Fifth Harmony, Rita Ora, and Dua Lipa, specifically her hit collaboration Scared to Be Lonely with Martin Garrix. Now, Georgia is striking out on her own with her official debut solo single, What Do I Do? So stick around for our chat a little bit later.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. So shall we just dive right into this massive Taylor Swift news?
Yes, take it away. Good Lord.
News broke on Sunday that Scooter Braun's Ithaca Holdings acquired Big Machine Records along with Taylor Swift's 6-album catalog. Swift was apparently shocked and shared her thoughts through a Tumblr post soon after, claiming that she learned the news along with the rest of the world and that Scooter had participated in bullying her on behalf of his clients, and that her former label boss, Scott Borchetta, knew all about that. So since the story hit, there's been a lot of he said, she said on both sides, with Big Machine founder / CEO Scott Borchetta responding to Swift's post with his own letter, claiming there were multiple ways she was informed of the deal before the news was released, and that she was given a chance to earn her masters back over time. A lot of artists have chimed in as well, including Halsey and Todrick Hall making very public tweets on behalf of Taylor's side of the argument. And then, of course, noted Scooter Braun original client Justin Bieber jumping to the defense of Scooter, as well as brand new Scooter signee Demi Lovato also defending him. There is a whole lot to break down here. Anyone who's just mildly interested in these artists, these names, the music industry, it was a lot to dig through. And it's just been a day. We were recording on Monday. It's only been a day since this news has been out. I figured maybe a good thing for us to focus on here for the Pop Shop is what this means for Taylor's music. So a lot of fans, I'm not sure, Keith, if you've read about this, but a lot of fans are suggesting that she should re-record her catalog since she owns publishing as a writer, and that fans can then listen to those new recordings of the albums as opposed to giving money to Scooter and Scott by listening to her old recordings. I like that people just think that you can just it's a pretty massive undertaking to try to recreate what Taylor has done over these past, decade plus. But it's interesting that they think that she can do that. And there's actually a petition that has been signed by some very notable celebrities, including Katy Perry and Troye Sivan. I saw both signed it, wanting Taylor to just make the catalog all over again. So, Keith, do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure, because that's totally easy to do. I'm sure Max Martin and all of her dozens and dozens of collaborators from her previous six albums have nothing else to do, and they have all those original tracks somewhere. And no, that's just not something that's easy to do. Def Leppard did it with two songs. Recently, JoJo did it with, I think, two or three albums that she did?
Oh, I didn't see that JoJo has done it, but yeah, I saw that Def Leppard had.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a simple undertaking. And also keep in mind that, frankly, her voice is not going to sound the same. It's not going to be the same exact song that you remember. That's an extreme case, and lots of artists, don't get their masters. They just don't. They don't own them. So this is a unique situation, and Lord have mercy, I don't know how this is going
to
turn out.
Yeah, I also think that, to your point, people don't understand that this happens to a lot of artists who sign deals as, nobodies at the time and then become massive stars. The deal they signed says, you can own my work. And it seems crazy to a Taylor Swift fan who knows how personal her catalog is. The idea that she does not own these personal works really disturbs them, but it's also kind of how things are. So if this disturbs you, it's probably the music industry disturbs you, which it disturbs a lot of people. So, maybe it will lead to some sort of change on that front. The other thing that I think people are just thinking about is what Scooter will do with the music. Will it be in commercials or movies or TV shows now, that he can make those choices? I can't think of an example of Taylor's music being in an ad. The only thing I could think of is that ESPN teamed up with her last year for and Ready For It was the college football song, and they played it during their coverage, but it's weird to think of, maybe her music just popping up in ads now that somebody else owns it and just wants to make money off of it.
There are many examples of artists who do not own their catalog of work. Madonna doesn't own, as I randomly reference Madonna, go figure. Madonna doesn't own her old Warner Brothers catalog. The Rolling Stones famously don't own any of their catalog earlier than 1971 or something. The deals were especially worse, obviously in the early days of the industry, and now a lot of artists have a lot more say and control over their work. But if you're just a brand new artist, you probably don't have an incredibly great contract. And so this is kind of par for the course. Does it make it totally right? Well, no, but this is, much how a lot of people are unhappy with whatever contract they sign in any other situation, or boy, that percentage rate that you had on your house was pretty crappy, or
well,
whatever.
I guess artists should be allowed to refinance their deals.
True.
Then.
Well,
and once their stock goes up.
And Taylor, and this is the argument, and this is also developing, and we can sort of cut this short, but the argument will be, she could have re-signed with Big Machine and maybe had control of her masters at some point in the future, but who knows what that deal would have been like. And maybe
her argument for that one was that she then wouldn't know who Scott might have sold the it all to, and then she would have been beholden to some other person or label and not really known. So in her UMG deal, she made it very clear that she was going to be in control of her masters going forward. So anyway, It's all very interesting. And we could talk about this forever. I feel like there will be even more developments in this situation next week. So we'll keep you posted.
All right, then. So let's do some chart chat now. On the Billboard 200 albums chart, a pair of new entries charge in at numbers 1 and 2 as rock band The Rock on Tours open at number 1 with Help Us Stranger, and Lil Nas X bows at number 2 with his 7 album. The former begins with 88,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending June 27th, while the latter launches with 77,000 units. Help Us Stranger is the first number one for The Rock on Tours and third top 10 overall. Further, as the band is led by Jack White, he can now also claim number ones as both a soloist and as part of a group. Hey, fun fact, it's a bonus chart stat of the week. Speaking of Lil Nas X, his single Old Town Road, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, which is found on the 7 album, continues to rule the Billboard Hot 100 for a 13th week. Lucky number 13. In doing so, it breaks the record for the hip-hop song with the most weeks at number 1. It beats out the following tracks, which all had 12 weeks at number 1. See You Again by Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth in 2015, Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas in 2009, and Lose Yourself by Eminem, which was number one over 2002 and 2003, over the Christmas season. It had 12 weeks at number one. Lastly, staying in the top 10 on the Hot 100, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello's, I'm so sorry, Camila, Senorita debuts at number 2, marking the 5th top 10 for Mendes and the 4th for Cabello. The last time the pair connected on a song was in 2015 for I Know What You Did Last Summer, which entered at number 97 and later peaked at number 20. And of course, with the number 2 debut of Shawn and Camila, and assuming that Senorita goes no higher than number 2, it will mark the 7th song to halt at number 2, stuck behind Lil Nas X's Old Town Road. And 2 of those 7 were by Shawn Mendes.
That's crazy. And I mean, for If I Can't Have You, that one was, we were like, whoa, number 2, way to go, Shawn. And now it's like, damn it, why can't he get his number 1?
Should we take a guess as how long we think Lil Nas X will be number 1 now? Now that we're up to 13, I mean...
Yeah, need revised. I mean, is it going to get to the 16-week mark, which is the current record, is the question.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say yes.
That'll be so wild if it beats... what am I trying to say? Mariah Carey and Despacito, if it beats them, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. But... So I'm going to, just to be contrarian, I'll say it's going to get to 15 weeks.
All right. We shall see. Tune back in a few weeks and you'll find out. And now it's time for our interview with Georgia Koo. The singer and songwriter recently stopped by the office to chat about her breakthrough success with So Close, which was a big dance hit for her earlier this year, and then crossed over to pop radio, and it hit our pop songs airplay chart. Before she hit it big with So Close, Georgia wrote songs for acts like Rita Ora, Fifth Harmony, Zedd, and what is probably her biggest hit yet as a writer, Scared to Be Lonely by Martin Garrix and Dua Lipa. In our interview with Georgia, we also dive into a discussion about her brand new single and video for What Do I Do, which is her first official single as a solo artist. So, take a listen to our chat with Georgia Koo. Yeah, we got so close, so close to love, but you had to go and mess it up. Was it all too much, or just not enough? When we got so close, so close to love. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Georgia Koo.
What's up?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we are great. We just started recording this, but we've spent the past 5 minutes talking about breakfast cereal.
Yes.
So sorry you missed that.
Very important.
We'll save that for a bonus track at some point later on in the future. Right now, it's a really great time for you because So Close, your collaboration with noted Felix Sean Jin. Felix, tell us how to
choose your adventure.
Name, choose your adventure and Captain Cuts. It's so great, so
thank
huge.
You.
And the song, before I get into all the charting and how successful it is, I just want to say the track is just great. And it has like such an incredible like whoosh feeling to it where you just feel like the first time you hear it, you're like, oh, this is a hit. Like,
I love
this is
that.
So great.
Thank you.
So the super simple question, even though the song has been out for a long time, mm-hmm. how did the track come together? How did it get to you? Or did it start with you? And I'm just an idiot for not knowing that.
No. Well, you wouldn't be an idiot because it happens all different ways.
Okay.
So this was, well, firstly, I wrote it in LA with Felix and Captain Cuts. And then Felix was super excited about these guys, Noted. And then he had approached us and was like, how about we send it to Noted? I really love them. Like, the production is great. And they were doing so well at that time. And so Felix actually sent it over. And it was kind of in a bare form. It wasn't really produced up. So then Noted just took it to the next level, put their production on it, added all of their things, made it what it is. And then we just released it. And then it was all very remotely done. So just very sent back and forth, and we'd have to approve it. We never even met before we put it out, which was pretty crazy.
Technology these days,
I know.
Where things are just made all virtually, like,
know.
From across oceans. When you said that, it reminded me of like how like the middle was done, where it was just like intercontinental, and then like Maren Morris and Zedd didn't even meet until like
right,
like, right.
And yet they share this massive hit
yes.
together.
Yeah.
Funny
it's
how
crazy.
Things work out.
Yeah.
And you actually made your name for yourself as a songwriter first, before we even got to know you as an artist. Mm-hmm. And you've written tracks for and with everyone from Zedd and Dylan Francis to Fifth Harmony and Rita Ora. So was there one song when you were just writing for other artists where you're like, oh, this song like could change my life. Like, this is one that is gonna like put me on the map.
Or this is the song where I got to buy my condo from it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because some songs you write and they could take years to get placed.
Sure.
You'll write them and you'll love them and be so excited, and then no one will really catch on until however long later, and then it's like bam. But I guess Scared to Be Lonely, the one I did for Martin Garrix and Dua Lipa, that one I feel like was the fastest song that I've ever got placed. Like, we wrote it, and I think within like 2 or 3 weeks it got placed.
Wow.
And that honestly has been the biggest like blessing for me, that song. Just how excited Martin was, and then just it was just so fast paced. Once he got it, it was like bam, bam, bam. And just to see how many streams that did and how well it did on radio as well, in the UK especially. And just like the love, like, it's not, it, what's so special about that is that I always, when people would come to me and talk about it and say, oh, I love this song, they would always mention how much they love the lyrics and just the song itself. It's not just like,
what a great beat.
Yeah, it's great,
yeah,
great
not
dance
just the vibe.
Song. Like, it's a
yeah.
banger. It's like, we took a lot of time and effort into writing those lyrics, and I love that it translated that way and it came across that way, and people loved it too.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up on Scared to Be Lonely, which is not on our list of questions? Was that a situation where you had kind of set out to work with Martin, or did you kind of, was it like you and a team of writers had like written something and then pitched it to Martin, and he was like, I love this, let me call up Dua and she'd be great to, and like you like maybe did the demo vocal, or like was that kind of how
that's
it worked?
Normally how it works.
Okay.
In general, so I wrote it with Kyle Shearer and Nate Campany. It was just us three, and Kyle just did the chords, and then me and Nate wrote the lyrics and the melody. And yeah, we just did it, and then they sent it out to their management and their publishers, and then they pitched it to Martin's team. And Martin, I think Martin was actually working on his next single at that time, and he scrapped his next
oh,
single
wow.
just to focus on that one, and that was the single, and
wow.
he went ahead with it. So that's normally how it works, and I'll demo it. And he originally wanted me to stay on it. He just wanted to lower the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the opportunity. I think his team said, "Oh, what about Dua?" Because she was starting
yeah.
to
climb.
Yeah.
yeah,
and I was, when we heard, we were like, "Yeah, we're super down with it." Because I honestly, I didn't know if I wanted to be on it.
Mm.
Just because I think, I mean, I'd been signed for a little while, but I didn't know if I was ready yet for that. Because I knew if it was a Martin song, I knew it would probably blow up, or I hoped it would, and I didn't know if I was ready to take on all of that, because I knew it would be like a lot, like a music video and maybe like coming out. He had to come out at Coachella, and I was like, I don't know about that.
No pressure.
Now it's totally different. I feel like I'm ready for that now, but no, I mean, I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I think she killed it. So yeah, that's how it normally works.
Well, so now that we have established that you are a hit songwriter with a condo that has been built from Martin Garrix. Just kidding.
Not yet, I'm wishing.
We're working on that.
Keep putting it out there, you know?
And you have a hit with So Close, but now you have your kind of first proper, like, debut single that is just you.
Yay!
That's so exciting.
When we're recording this just on the eve of it coming out, but when people hear this, it will already be out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it is called What Do I Do?
Yes.
How do you feel at this moment, you know, as you kind of go into this sort of new stage?
Release your
career?
Baby into the world.
Yeah.
Well, firstly, I'm so excited. I feel like it's like one of those things you've just been waiting for. And it's crazy because there's been so many times where it's like, okay, it's going to come out here and then it'll be pushed back. And then it's going to come out here and
just
it'll be pushed
kidding.
Back. And it's, yeah, literally. But it's so funny. Just, I feel like timing is everything, and the way that it's worked out, like even just waiting for this to come out, I feel like I've been so busy with everything else that it's just come like that. It's just so fast. So it's just crept up on us and it's like, yeah, it's here. So I'm really, really excited. I feel like it's long awaited. And I'm excited for people to, like, get to know me. I feel like they will get to know me and who I am and my personality and what I stand for, like, through my music. And I feel like that's all I've ever wanted to do, you know? And I just hope that people get it and the authenticity just, like, shines through so people can relate. That's really important to me.
And
speaking of that,
well, yeah, as like, how did the songwriting process for this one work? Did you do this on your own or were you with a group of people?
I feel like I have a really close group of collaborators. Mm. So most of the people who I write with are people who I've like mentioned. So I wrote it with Captain Cuts, which is three guys. And we just, I was going through a hard time and I feel like I had a specific thing what I wanted to talk about. And I was like, went into the studio and I was saying, I wanted to be vulnerable with it, because I say all the time, you know, I'm all for women empowerment songs and like, screw you suck, like, blah, 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 I'm a strong woman, I'm going to get on. And I feel like I'm like that, like I can be like that. But there was also a side of me at that time where I was like, I actually don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know how to be strong in these moments. And I was like, I feel like the best way to actually release all of that is to put it into a song. Mm. And I feel so grateful that I have the opportunity to do that, and just to go into the studio and have the resources to do that. So, I said what I wanted to say, and it just kind of like rolled out. We ended up writing the verses and the pre-chorus first, and the lyrics just kind of rolled off my tongue, and then we really sat down and wrote like thought about the chorus. And it's just funny because it's literally what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and that's how it came.
Like you were telling a best friend how you're feeling at that time. And it's also you know, like you said, the lyrics are super vulnerable and emotional, but then it also has this up-tempo beat, and you can kind of like vibe to it. It's interesting that dichotomy of the two different directions of the lyrics and the song. Was that intentional? Did you want it to have kind of an upbeat sound, even though it's a downbeat lyric, basically?
Yeah. Well, I think I struggled for a while when I first signed my record deal with like who I was. I was so used to writing so many different genres for other people that I was like, oh my gosh, like who am I? Mm. Like what is my sound? And I almost went in a completely different direction at the start. And when I just let go of all of the overthinking, I think I just was like, just like be you, like don't overthink, like okay, what's a Georgia Q melody, what's like a Georgia Q lyric. It was just like, just sing, just open your mouth and sing, just like write as if you were normally writing. And I think that's just where it all just came together. So yeah.
And your voice is really distinctive too, we were saying. So like, I feel like your voice is what's going to be the Georgia Q of it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whatever you sing,
that
your voice really like, you know, cuts through.
Yeah. And I love having that I think sometimes when you have a sad lyric, it's just kind of like, oh, it's like sad, and you could be like ballady. But when you put that production behind it, it just gives like a two-sided thing, and you can almost just like cry in the club.
You
like,
can dance it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it gives it that energy. And I feel like that, it's crazy because people would say to me all the time, oh, Georgia, your songs are so sad, like, but you're so bubbly. And I feel like it's great because it shows both sides of me. Like, I want to show the integrity and like the depth of my lyrics and my feelings, but like I think the production speaks for the energy that I have as a person.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the video. You shot it in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Now, was that just like, hey, let's fly to Puerto Rico? Or did someone, like, did you just happen to be there and you're like, we should shoot the video here? Because I started watching it before I actually saw in the press notes that it was shot in Puerto Rico. I'm like, where is this?
No, that's just it's how beautiful. I roll. Like,
no, now we're just going to fly. No, why was it shot in Puerto Rico? What was the genesis behind that?
I think, well, first of all, I have an amazing creative team at Atlantic. And the Sade, my creative director, she just... I think she just wanted to go somewhere different. I think she loves doing that, just, you know, going on location. Because who wants to just do a video in LA? Like, everyone does it in LA. Or we'll just be stuck in a studio. I think that it's so beautiful there. And even the fact we did an amazing scene on the beach. And we were at the beach for, like, nearly the entire day till the sunset. Not one person came on that beach.
Whoa.
Like, the entire, like, spread of the beach.
And that's wild.
You can't get that. Like, imagine me going to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm glad
every tourist in the background. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just something.
Diaper washing up on the beach.
Oh, yeah, no, not a vibe. But I think there was, yeah, it was just something so beautiful about the scenery there. And I love, like, that film kind of vintagey look. And I think... San Juan had some amazing views like that, and just places, and they went there and scouted out some places before, and I think it was just to just like get some excitement around it, instead of just
it's beautiful.
Yeah,
super so. Important. Who was the guy in the video?
Well, I cast that one really specifically. It's my actual boyfriend, so I feel like it made me
really
I
was like, I was waiting for the punchline. You're like, I should have Googled more.
Like, someone texted me today actually being like, I think the casting could have been a little bit more realistic, like as a joke, because they know. And it's funny because the song is written about him too. Oh. So it's just like, he's like,
oh my God,
on both sides.
So many layers.
I know.
Then, my God.
I just wanted to sing it to him and be like angry at him.
Okay, so is he in the car? Is he actually really crying when he goes like this and like, you know, holds his eyes?
He actually did get it. He's so sweet. I think we've been through so much together that like it was very easy to pull a lot of emotions out. So he's amazing. Like, he did so good at acting. Me, on the other hand, I don't know, but he could like cry on the spot, and I was like, just do I not have a heart? I can't cry. I can't make myself cry. But no, it turned out really well, and yeah, I guess he definitely shed some real tears. But
wow,
yeah,
wow. Before Katie moves on, I wanted to say I thought the very end of the video, and I'm not going to spoil it for people. But when you watch the video and you're watching the very end of it, I'm like, oh, don't do it.
I know.
You shouldn't have done it.
I know.
Why didn't you follow your own advice? That's all I'm going to say. So you have to go watch the video now if you haven't seen it yet.
There we go. Little teaser.
So is this song leading to a possible album, do we think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have plans to release another song. Like, I already have my second single too.
Ooh, nice.
Which I'm super excited about. And then we're... like in the process of figuring out what a third can be, and I definitely I'm heading to an EP.
Amazing.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Well, great. We get to hear much more from you coming up then.
Yes.
Outstanding. What else is on the horizon for you? Do you have any concerts lined up coming
up? Appearances
that
you should be talking about.
Yeah.
Like a headlining tour with Taylor or Beyonce. Feel free to drop
it now. Noted are going on tour with Zed. Mm. So I think I'm going to be, I'm hoping to be joining them on a couple of those dates. Yeah, nice. So that'd be fun. Then I'll probably, once this is out and I have more content to actually play, maybe just some smaller gigs around LA.
You should play El Rey. The El Rey is across the street.
Oh, yeah, we'll come see you. Back. Just come walk. Yeah. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'll definitely let you know.
Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And we wish you nothing but the best with all the new music coming.
Thank
to you.
Yes. I appreciate it. What do I do?
Thank you so much to Georgia for stopping by. She was so delightful, and I think that we were her first solo interview. She said that she'd done some interviews with the Noted guys around So Close, but this was her first one on her own. So I'm glad everyone will get to know her a little better and hear all the music that she's got coming up.
And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Yeah. 35 years ago this week, Prince got his first number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 with When Doves Cry. The track, lifted from the Purple Rain soundtrack, rose 3-1 on the list dated July 7th, 1984, and spent 5 weeks at number one. Prince notched a total of 5 number ones on the Hot 100. After Doves, he also led the list with Let's Go Crazy, which is also from the Purple Rain soundtrack, Kiss, Bat Dance, and Cream. It's kind of a weird motley crew of number ones.
It really is.
For Prince. Songs that you probably wouldn't think would be number one were number one, and stuff that you certainly thought was number one totally weren't number one.
Right.
But that's Prince. He's an enigma wrapped in a purple glyph. And actually, Prince is back on the charts this week as his new album, Originals, debuts in the top 20 on the Billboard 200 chart. The album includes Prince's original demo versions of songs he wrote for other acts or gave to other acts, including The Bangles' Manic Monday and Sheila E.'s The Glamorous Life. So, there you have it. 35 years ago this week, Prince got his first number one on the Hot 100 with When Doves Cry. Maybe you're just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Alrighty, that is the end of our show. Any parting words there, Katie, in Los Angeles?
We miss you, Keith.
Well, I miss you too, Katie. What song should we go out on?
Oh, man. Maybe one of those original Taylor Swift hits.
Ooh.
I like so many. There's so many of my favorites, but I'm going to go with 15. I love 15.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.